Inorganic growth, horizontal expansion. So inorganic growth can be two types. One is horizontal expansion, the other one is vertical expansion. So I acquire a company horizontally because I want to another company in the same line of business. So thereby I'm expanding my market share, which I said some time back, how do I increase my market share and acquire more customers and become number one leader in the space. Process enables the company to operate in a single industry to grow rapidly. From 10% market share, you become 20% or 22%. You become number one leader in that space. Primary focus is to multiply the market share of the combined entity. So you're multiplying by two times, three times. 10% market share becomes 20%, or even 10% can become 25-30% also in some cases. Expand into new geographies. You are expanding into Airtel in the same business. Airtel acquired, Airtel was in the telecom business, mobile industry. They acquired the Zain Africa. So you are actually moving into another continent altogether. From Asia specific or India specific presence, you are going into Africa. So they acquired about almost 15-16 countries there under Zain Africa assets. So that is how you expand into new geographies, and thereby you are also increasing, you may not increase the market share in the respective country, but combined base can be more. Here you had 200 million customers, there you bring in 100 million customers, you become 300 million customers in absolute terms. Market share may not remain. India market share is 30%, Africa market share is 10-12%. So that more or less remains the same. Create economies of scale. Whatever you are doing, you are master in doing this kind of business model. You can replicate it there. So when you replicate it, your scale becomes more. That's what is called the economies of scale. Your cost becomes less, cost per unit becomes less if you are a production company, or the cost per service transaction becomes less. You can cross leverage the people. You can expand the value proposition. So there are a whole lot of advantages that come along with it. Increasing purchasing power, because you are able to produce a huge volume by the combined entity, it becomes, your product becomes very competitive in the market. Horizontal diversification. Again, the objective is to create synergy by transferring the capabilities and credentials of one company to the target company with the core business, right? You're bringing a complementing business, suppose. It becomes all the more important to leverage, cross-leverage the capabilities and skills available in both the companies, thereby strengthening the overall capability and credentials that your company is possessing. Acquire complementing capabilities, new skills, new customers, increasing overall value proposition. That's what I said. How do you complement your capabilities? How do you bring in new skills? How do you bring in new customer base? How do you bring in new credentials? How do you combine the overall value proposition? The resultant synergy of combined entities provide higher effectiveness and efficiency, empower the company to participate in more market opportunities. Because your volume of scale, your purchasing power, you can easily control the suppliers, you can easily control the buyers. So thereby you are able to bring in the volume, you are able to participate in the market opportunities with more penetration, more coverage in the market. Let's talk about vertical integration. Or inorganic growth also comes with vertical integration. Suppose your company is working in a particular industry, retail industry. Retail industry, you want to create a customer touch point. So you need a forward integration, go-to-market integration. So, and you want to source materials for your FMCG. So you do a reverse integration, backward integration. So these are two types, forward integration and backward integration, complementing your core business. Your core business is this, forward integration is for logistics, delivery and distribution, and backward integration is sourcing and getting the raw materials. It is an expansion by acquiring the company in the distribution channel. Full vertical integration is achieved when an organization is able to perform all the activities in the entire value chain of business, right from sourcing till distribution. Backward integration, when a company acquires its suppliers, so sourcing of the raw materials, so you're acquiring the suppliers, so it becomes a complementing strategy, it becomes a vertical integration. Forward integration is when you acquire a distribution company or a channel company. So you have a distribution into the market. You got a good core product that gets distributed easily into the market. So you can have a combined strategy. You can have an overall strategy for the entire company, entire group, the integrated entity. M&A is a quite often used words in the market. It's a corporate level strategy which a firm combines with another firm through an exchange of stock or cash. Large enterprises often acquire smaller competitors, often to expand products and services, because smaller niche companies are there in specific market segments, market products and services. So you acquire them and integrate them into your core business. So your core business becomes much stronger. And you are able to create more offerings to your customers. And you are able to create more value proposition and stickiness to your customers, existing customers, acquire new customers, enter into new geographies, expand your market share. Combined entity possesses all strength of individual companies. So you got the best of both worlds. Your core business is excelling in some areas. Your acquiring company, the company you are acquiring, is bringing a lot of strengths and capabilities and skills. So your combined entity becomes much more powerful. Strategic alliances and partnerships. So this is another way of expanding your business, wherein it works for corporates who do not wish to build every capability in-house, right? Airtel is a good example. Airtel doesn't do everything themselves. They've got outsourcing. They've got network outsourcing. They've got IT outsourcing. They've got whole lot of things being outsourced, call center being outsourced, for example. So you don't want to do, your core business is mobile business. But you don't want to be doing IT, you don't want to be doing your network, you don't want to be doing your call center. So you have strategic partners who are doing this for you. So that is what it works, in a corporate strategy. It is through alliance and partnership. Short-term based alliance purely entered for a particular project duration. Long-term alliance, Airtel has entered, is a great classic example in India. Continuous engagement between the Airtel and its partners over an extended period of time, and they co-create new products and services. It mainly pursues the economic and technological reasons, because one is economic reason and the other one is technological reason, because you don't have the technology know-how and you want to bring in another company to help you to do that. Economic reason, because you want to have a cost effectiveness in your operations, thereby you are able to easily expand and diversify into new markets as well. The franchisee system could be a good example. Stability strategy. Stability strategy is in which a company is able to maintain its current fields of business operations. They say, I don't want to diversify, I don't want to expand. I want to grow the way I am doing. I am stable. I want to maintain status quo, because my company is doing well. So it's all about company focusing on managerial efforts to enhance the existing business units. I'll enhance whatever I can do. During tough times, cost of adding new businesses may exceed the potential benefits, hence the stability strategy works. Sometimes what happens is you keep investing into the business, but the returns are not sufficient. Adding new business doesn't make any sense, or adding new business doesn't give you the expected business results. Then it is better to stick on. There could be times duration in a economic cycle. In the next couple of years, I think we need to stay put. We are not, because the situation is not going to be good. The road is going to be bumpy. The economy is going through slowdown. So let me watch and then wait, and then let me, stick with the status quo. And then, after 2 years, let's review the strategy. So it is not stability strategy throughout you're going to have. In my company is always, pursue stability strategy. No, that's not the case. The strategy keeps changing every 2 years, depending on, which part of the economic life cycle you are there. Organization might want to maintain the same operations by doing more with less, so status quo. Thereby, they are creating efficiency. Thereby, they are able to improve the growth and profitability. Reasons for stability strategy. Slowdown of an economy, declining demand, as we said. The recession is starting, so let's wait and watch and then maintain the strategy. In tough times, costs associated with the growth may exceed the potential benefit. the new business that you want to create, the cost associated with may exceed with it exceed you know the business benefit. Organization has constraints on its resources to adopt growth strategy for valid reasons. So this is a very important point. So you have constraints on resources financially, people, it could be people resource or it could be financial assets. So you want to, you know, get stability first before you actually get into expansion and diversification. So you will wait for valid reasons, you know, valid business justification to happen. Regulators are not allowing any further increase in the market share like FDI cap. You know, they put 24%, 49%, beyond which you cannot bring in a foreign partner for expansion. So then you have constraints on resources, your internal resources, because you need more partners. You need more strategic partners, you know, investing into your company. So it becomes a stability strategy. Corporate restructuring, there is a huge recession, there is a your slowdown that has impacted your company's performance, financial performance. And there is degrowth in your revenues and profits. So what do? Realigning the lines of businesses and business units, address, remove unwanted business units which are less productive and turnover is very less, declining day by day, altering the management structure, retrenchment of people by taking a bottom-up approach in terms of performance and from the PMS system, redefining the delegation of authority, completely redefine the authority levels within the organization, divesting the business units which are not profitable. That's what I said. If some business unit is doing only 10 crore business, whereas the company's turnover is 500 crore, 10 crore on 500 crore is less than, 2%. So what do you do with it? So you have to divest that particular business. You know, that's a non-core business, you know. So you will be getting into selling off the non-core business. Corporates also do voluntary restructuring to mitigate the risk of hostile takeover. So because that is again part of this. What if your company is a weak company and there is a hostile takeover? So you have to constantly restructure it to ensure the company is on its feet to its existence, so in order to ensure that the company grows in spite of the challenges outside. So restructuring is an essential component of the overall corporate strategy. It keeps happening every year in most of the organization, or every year or every 2 years, depending on how fast your changes are happening in your industry. If there are a lot of changes happening in your industry, restructuring happens almost every year, year or two. So that's big companies do that because they feel that the market expectations are changing, technological changes are happening, market segmentation has changed, whole lot of new competition has come in. So what do you do? You can't be carrying the same overheads as you were doing in the last few years, because it may not make the company profitable. You have to become nimble, resilient, and very agile organization all the time. That's why the restructuring is an essential exercise from time to time. Turnaround strategy. This is what I said earlier. A company is not doing well, and how do you go about reviving the company? Turnaround strategy transforms the company into a leaner, meaner, and effective organization, a nimble-footed kind of a company. Often accompanied by changes in the macro environment, industry order, and competition behavior. Because of changes, continuous changes happening in the marketplace, competition is changing, competition behavior is changing, industry order is changing, there are many changes in the environment. So you need to put in a turnaround strategy in place so that you are able to survive and you are able to grow into your revenues and profits. Turnaround may also must ensure to address the corporate governance issues, because you can't leave, because a company is inflicted by corporate governance issues. When you turn around, you are able to address those challenges which were affecting the company's fortunes. Organization must have proper communication with all the employees during the turnaround process. In a restructuring process and turnaround process, these two strategies are not so well liked by the employees or anybody, customers or other stakeholders. But what happens, it is imperative. It becomes it's essential thing because your company has to survive. That's why you're doing restructuring and a turnaround strategy. Your company is not doing well. Your company, something is going wrong. or something has inflicted your company, like a scam, like a governance issue. So how do you revive the company? Because your reputation is going down, your products are not good, you're not innovating new products, your revenues are going down, your profits are already into the negative territory. So how do you survive? You're answerable to your board, you're answerable to all the stakeholders. So you have to have a clear strategy of, you know, making it very, nimble-footed, agile, responsive, a simple, leaner, meaner organization. And you have to communicate to each and every employee, or this is what our strategy is, this is what our vision is, and this is what our strategy is, and you need to cooperate. In the process, you may have to lay off some employees also. You may have to cut down your ecosystem. You may want to reduce costs and various operational issues. So you have to necessarily and well clearly articulate your the intent through a proper communication to all the employees. Divestment strategy. Divestment strategy is kind of removing or selling off the non-core part of your business. When an industry is on decline, organization may desire to sell off some unprofitable businesses, right? There are some business, I said, one business unit is giving only 10 crore business, whereas my overall turnover is 500 crore, 1000 crore. It doesn't make any sense. So maybe a non-core business run by some 100 people, but the productivity ratio, the per capita revenue is absolutely not in line with the overall company objective. So you have to sell off that particular business unit. You have to divest that particular, divestment strategy is also used to pay off corporate debt. So you have some debt sitting on your balance sheet. You need to, you have to fund the, debt. So how do you do that? You may have to, sell off your non-core businesses. There are many companies with high debt on their balance sheet are actually doing selling off their assets, non-core assets. For example, recently JP Associates sold its cement unit in Gujarat to Ultratech Cement. Ultratech Cement is the number one player. So what they did, Jayaprakash Associates is an infrastructure and infrastructure company. They felt the cement unit they had a huge debt in their balance sheet. By selling this 5,000 crore, selling this cement unit in Gujarat at 5,000 crores to Aditya Birla Group, which is an Ultratech cement company, they were able to raise 5,000 crore. So that money was used to pay off the debt. So thereby, they deleveraged the balance sheet. So I think it's a very important thing. Divestment strategy can aim to completely spin off their business and liquidate or revive the business, right? It is a strategy. You can liquidate by divesting or by reviving the business. Liquidation strategy is the last resort for a corporate to sell off the entire business. Because you don't want to sell off the business that you created. So generally you will give it time, you'll have a turnaround strategy, you'll have a restructuring strategy, you might have a divestment strategy. Finally, if nothing works, you will have to finally liquidate the company. Now let's talk about how do we make an assessment of your corporate level strategy. There are many tools available. In order to make an assessment of whether your what kind of corporate level strategy that you need to make for your organization, relevant to your market, relevant to your business, relevant to your vision. So here is one, I thought I'll just share it with you. It is BCG Growth Share Matrix, which is very clearly presented in the book, Strategic Management. Here, if you take a market share on the x-axis and market growth on the y-axis, so you can place your organization with respect to whether you are in a business which is low market share and low growth, that is a company with a low market share and low market growth, weak in market, difficult to make profit because you are actually in a dogfight area, which is basically an area where it is completely commoditized. It is not driven by any value. It is driven only by cost and price. So that means you are, this one. The second one is you are having higher market share but low market growth. That means there are, doing well in no growth market. Growth is low, but you are comparatively higher than the market growth. Thereby, the market opportunities are very limited. So do you want to put money into that area? So these could be cash cows because you're still extracting a lot from the market because of your brand or your leadership position in the market. So it has got high market share and low market growth. The third one is low market share and high market growth. You don't know what to do with opportunities. Your market share is low, but the average market growth is high. You know, that means you don't have a strategy to leverage the market potential. Decide whether to increase the payment, increase the investment. So you have to make investment. You have to get into that space because, you know, it becomes a question mark. There is huge opportunity. There are customers who want to do business, but your company is not ready. Company is not geared up to take up the challenge. So this is a clear opportunity for increasing the investment or diversifying or expanding your investment. Stars are basically high market share and high growth, you know, high market growth, doing well and great. There are great opportunities. So these are guys who, these are companies who constantly innovate, constantly expand their business, constantly diversify their business, bring out innovative new products and services. You know, they stay ahead, you know, that's why it's called, they are called stars. So this, if you can map your company into one of these quadrants, so you will come to know what kind of strategy. Suppose you want to move from this to particularly this area. You've got low market share, high market growth. You want to move from here to here. You want to move from dog's area to cash cow area. Or you want to move from low market share to high market share and high market growth. So you can devise your strategy accordingly. So this tool helps you to baseline your organization position with respect to your business in the market today, and then where you want to be in the next 3 years or 5 years. A detailed analysis has been given in the book, and I would be glad to explain further. So this is organizations use BCG matrix, which classifies business units under the following key categories. So then it will further recommend your business strategy. You know, that's what we've seen. There's an assessment tool. It's a baselining tool. So once you do the baselining, you'll come to know, hey, this is how I should devise my strategy at a corporate level. And this is how I need to expand my business. I need to grow. Should I have a M&A strategy? Should I have a diversification strategy? Do I have a, organic growth strategy or inorganic growth strategy? So all those things will fall in place. Cash Cow is a company that has high market share in a slow growing market. Limited investment is required. You know, there is no investment because the market share is high already. You're already having 50-60% market share, and the market is growing very slowly. But you are extracting huge profits and revenues from that market, which is a great show. Dogs, this is a commodity market, which I said, with low market share in a mature, slow-growing market, these units are mostly operating at break-even, a fast-moving commodity business, you know. What is question mark? Business unit operating in a high market growth but having low market share. Primarily, startups fall under this category. For example, Apple in India, it's a new, as far as India is concerned, Apple is a startup. In the last 2 years, it's been doing, and their market share is only 2, but the huge potential is there. So Apple is going to invest into India to gain market share. There is a huge investment opportunity. Stars, units with high market share with a fast-growing industry. Stars require high level of funding to fight competition, create market visibility, create innovation, maintain growth rate. For example, Flipkart. I gave an example of Flipkart, which is a fast-growing company, which is a high market share company, which is, you know, receiving a lot of investment also. Balanced strategy. Organizations can build a market share with stars and question marks. So that's a composition of these two types of business strategies, which is star and question marks. Corporate strategy can be to hold the market share with the cash cow, because cash cow, you're already having high market share. Market is not growing that much. So your market share will more or less remain the same. Corporate strategy is to have to harvest more and milk as much as in the short term cash from the business as possible. So corporate strategy is to, you know, is a cash cow, you know, that's why it is called cash cow. You are basically to, extract more from that existing market where you have a higher market share and good customer base. And you are able to, take milk as much as possible and invest into other business. Strategy is to divest the business unit partially or completely to provide cash back to the corporation. Pursuing global strategy. India is already, as we said in the beginning of the chapter, in a complex environment, India is taking increasingly more challenges. And they're globalizing their business strategies and diversifying, expanding into new businesses. Reasons for which the company changes its strategy from domestic orientation to global orientation. Why? They want to pursue global markets because of trade barriers being removed across because of the WTO World Trade Organization agreements. From time to time, there have been a lot of changes there, and free trade agreements are being entered into between countries. So it is increasingly becoming easy for corporations to pursue global dreams. So that's one reason. Helps to extend the product life cycle. Obviously, product life cycle is being extended. Setting up facilities abroad, which is an incentive, helps organizations to reduce risk because you are de-risking your business strategy. Helps company to leverage the technology expertise partner of one, so you bring in technology partners. In a defense establishment, you can bring in a foreign defense player who's making defense products into India setup. So he's bringing in that kind of technology know-how in order to set up the business. Similarly, it happens. Japanese companies are setting up joint ventures in India. They bring in the technology know-how. In summary, corporate level strategy is the most important thing before you enter into business unit level strategy or functional level strategy. Each type of corporate strategy has its own benefits and limitations that we have seen. BCG growth share matrix is a very important tool to make an assessment and do a baselining about where your business stands today. What is the position of your business? What is your corporate profile? And what is your corporate vision and aspiration vis-a-vis? So use that to create a roadmap and create a clear strategy. And we have also seen different strategies: growth strategy, stability strategy, and retrenchment strategy. In growth strategy, we have seen organic growth and inorganic growth. In inorganic growth, we have clearly seen expansion and diversification of horizontal integration and vertical integration. So those things, strategies will, so you have to pick and choose based on the BCG growth matrix, growth share matrix, how you can create your own strategy for your organization and for your business. That thereby it helps strategic managers to manage various business units. So corporate strategy gets further percolated down to the different business units and the different functional units. So that we'll be seeing in the next two chapters. Till then, we can further discuss that in the next two chapters on business unit level strategy and functional strategy. Till then, goodbye and thank you.